listening audience, and welcome to the Sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, in Christ podcast, where we will explore the timeless truths of scriptures. Today, we will continue on part two of our topic, I Have Been Transformed, based on Titus chapter 3. My sister in Christ, Lisa Bastian, and I, Pamela Ferguson, will discuss this powerful passage from Paul's letter, which speaks to the heart of Christian living and emphasize how we as Christians ought to live in society. We will explore themes like submission to authority, the importance of good works, and the transformative power of God's grace. Titus chapter 3 reminds us that salvation is not something we earn through our actions, but a gift of mercy from God, leading us to a life of humility, kindness, and purposeful living. So join us. Get a cup of coffee, tea, water, whatever you feel like drinking, as we unpack these rich teachings and discuss their relevance for our lives today. So Lisa, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
And we are picking up from where we left off. We talked about the importance of submitting to authority and how do we balance that with standing up for righteousness. We also looked at good works and the importance of good works in the life of a Christian and how do we live out this transformed life every day. So we're going to start with now, how do we handle disagreements in the body? So in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, it reads, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissension, and quarreling about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned." I love that little passage right there. Like, if you are the divisive person and we have been through this first time, the second time, I let it go. No hate, no animosity. I just know you're a problem. Right. I love what the Bible says there, and also about how we are arguing about stuff like, should you worship on a Sunday or should you have this format in your worship? They say these are worthless and unprofitable. But Lisa, how does, according to Titus, how should we deal with disagreement with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in a way that promotes unity?
There will always be disagreements. And unfortunately, a lot of people handle it in a controversial way. I think a way to handle it is prioritizing, like we've been saying. We said a lot about humility and gentleness, but love, where the scripture says love covers over a multitude. Of sins or just division even. I work with children. I do the children's ministry.
I used to.
At the Holy Trinity. Every Friday. Yes. And I find, and I, in what comes up a lot in an easy format to teach children is breaking down the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which we teach them that you go love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's in Galatians. But it teaches us that we cannot always do it on our own. And it is a gift from the Holy Spirit, which is back to this, where God's grace we didn't earn. And so when we want to deal with somebody who is unfavorable or, like you say, divisive, I think on, first, the Holy Spirit would have you find love, give love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I think on those things and how you can not answer necessarily what is being said, but think of the core, the person. Mm-hmm. So I think when you take away the words they're saying or the attitudes that are coming from them, you see them at the core for who they are. They mm-hmm. are a person, a being, somebody God has created, somebody who mm-hmm. God loves as deeply as he loves me. Mm-hmm. He loves that person. Right. So I think when we eliminate what's coming out of them, or it may even be anger that mm-hmm. you that they're throwing at you, or their own hurt, and see past that, and remember God loves that person deeply, and find a way to reach in, mm-hmm. And not give in, not add to the anger, not add to whatever is spewing, but think of what comes from the Holy Spirit: love,
yes.
joy, peace, patience, kindness, mm-hmm. gentleness, mm-hmm. self-control. So I think that's where I would go first.
And even as a child, you said you work with children, mm-hmm. to forget easily. You know, because the children, they yes. will be mad today.
Yes, not even today, right in 10 minutes. Yeah, they had this fight and you upset trying to figure out how to work this out. And then you turn around, they're already back to playing.
Together playing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that's a good way, you know, to look at it. And, yes. and not to be so concerned about winning the argument, but right. more concerned about valuing
the person,
the relationship.
And the relationship,
like,
yes.
like, for me, you know, if I know saying something is probably going to hurt this relationship, I'm not going to say it. And I remember we said in the first part that I used to be a feisty person. I had a colleague, or when we were off to school in Canada, he would tell me, he said, "Pam, people would think it, but you can say it." But I have been transformed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I have that right to just speak my mind
right.
whenever I want to. Yeah, sometimes when you want to say something. Mm-hmm. But I think the relationship should be at the forefront, this relationship. Right. And if I say this, how will this
right.
the person react to what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's good. That's mm-hmm. good, because one, you're forced to yourself to self-control,
yeah.
And not just let it come mm-hmm. out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it may be something that needs to be heard. And right. that's where we go to speaking the truth in love.
Right.
So you pull yourself back and say, let me find mm-hmm. a more loving way to say this. Mm-hmm. If you feel like it's something that has to be said, right. even though it may not be the easy for the person to receive, mm-hmm. I think they'll receive it better mm-hmm. knowing it's coming from mm-hmm. a place of love.
I find that for me, only people who are close to me.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be in my inner circle.
For you to hear that, hey.
For me to say, like, if I have to say something, to mm-hmm. tell you that. Mm-hmm. If you are an acquaintance, or if you are not in that inner circle, mm-hmm. I'm not telling you that.
No.
I just don't feel like it's right. my place to do it. But when we look at Ephesians mm-hmm. 4,
oh, yes.
2-3, but let's start from verse 1. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit mm-hmm. in the bond of peace." Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Titus, you're looking at
Ephesians,
and somewhere in James too, and mm-hmm. and the word keeps telling us humility, mm-hmm. peace, in love, and it's a standard that God expects
right.
from us, and to be patient. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not all at the same level.
Right. Or think right? the Proverbs.
Yeah. You're a mother, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not a mother, but you're a mother. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that there are experiences that you had that at some point in time you share with your children mm-hmm. or those that are close to you to help them to understand that I am not perfect.
Right.
I went through this situation. Mm-hmm. And so I am going to use a little bit of grace to help you through your situation. Yes. When I'm talking to my nieces or my nephew, they like to come to me and ask me for advice, right? I try not to point them to where they have to go, but give them my experiences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what happened to me. you know, and I think doing that makes me authentic to them and make them and helps them to trust me more. Right. But when we forget where we came from, mm-hmm. and then put judgment on other people who are struggling in a particular area, mm-hmm. I don't think that is right. And I don't think that blesses that right. person's life, nor our lives when in the eyes of God.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Right? And speaking of, yeah, when I want to express to my children are all adults now. And so,
and more so, even because, more so yeah, now, I yes. look at my relationship with my mom when yes. I was a child mm-hmm. and she would scold me to where we are now. I could talk to my mother about anything. We'd be on the yeah. phone hours gossiping. So part of that,
would be gossiping too, right? Yeah, but I think when you were saying that, I was thinking of the Proverbs also that say mm-hmm. a gentle answer turns yeah. away wrath.
Yeah.
And I say, a lot of times I find myself to my children, I would say it when they're presenting a situation where they may feel passionate about something or they have mm-hmm. to do this or mm-hmm. say that or pull back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Put yourself in that person's mm-hmm. shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Remove yourself from your mm-hmm. reaction. Put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if you were in that exact situation? Mm-hmm. How would you want somebody to speak to you if you're in that yeah. situation? Go back mm-hmm. to the golden rule. Treat mm-hmm. others as you want to be mm-hmm. treated. Mm-hmm. It's easy when we're looking on the outside of somebody's situation. And like I said before, what's coming from them, you have to see past that to the core person and deal and think, it could be me. Mm-hmm. How would I want somebody to treat me if I was going through this?
Mm-hmm. The very first time that I ever had to apologize, or I apologized to someone, was my dad. Mm. I was in college at the time. That was the most difficult thing that I had to do because I feel I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. My dad was a chef, and he used to work at the hotel, but he started working for himself. And mm-hmm. so this was a Sunday, and he was we had a side house we called the cookhouse. Uh-huh. And he was in there. He was prepping for lunch the next day, breakfast mm-hmm. and lunch. And so I said, let me go hang out with daddy. I just wanted to hang out, you know, go in the back there, talk. But my dad had an agenda because I think an election was coming up, mm-hmm. right? And my mom and her sisters, I would sit under them and watch them talk about politics. And so obviously their party was my party when it's time to vote. But my dad was thinking differently. My dad was never, he was born in Turks and Caicos, so he's never naturalized here, but he didn't vote, but he had his preference.
Right.
And so he used that opportunity to, I guess, try to sway me his way. So that was that in that season when I said what I wanted to say, right?
Yes.
So, so I told him, I said, Daddy, I said, I'm an adult now and I'm going to vote for who I think I should vote for. And you cannot make me do something, or you cannot persuade me to do something that I don't want to do.
That's fair.
Oh, he was livid.
Uh-oh.
He was livid. So I left and I went into the house with my mom and I told her, I said, you know, Daddy, oh, mad because he wants me to vote for the party that he thinks I should vote for. And she said, don't worry about that. He said, yeah, Daddy can't make you vote for anybody. He said, when you get in that ballot box, mm-hmm. he said, there's only you and God. You could do what you want to do. So mm-hmm. I went to my room, but Lisa, I was distraught because it was not right between my dad and I.
Right.
I was distraught. And so I told my mom, I said, I'm going to apologize to daddy. Now, I kind of like was hoping her to say, well, you didn't do anything wrong. She said, okay. I said, oh, Jesus, Lord. And so I kind of like went to the door and opened it, Lisa, no lie, about 10 times before I finally opened it and went through. And I went in the back there where he was, and I said, Daddy, I apologize if I said anything to offend you. I know now, I use a justification for this one. Uh-huh. I said, I know now we can't talk about politics.
And that's fair enough.
And he accepted it.
Yeah.
Now, my dad never said sorry. No matter what, he never said sorry. But he would just do something that you like. Mm-hmm. He would do something. He would do something that was kind to say we made up.
That was his
That's
way.
His way.
Yeah, apologizing is hard.
No, it's very difficult.
It's not it's, easy
it's
to do.
It's very difficult, Lisa. And mm-hmm. anybody who tell you it's easy.
Mm, no.
it's not, especially when you don't feel like you did anything wrong.
Right, yes.
But I appreciated that experience, and that experience had helped me mm-hmm. from that point on, that if I did something that it's nudging at my spirit that I should not have done.
Yeah. Don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it.
Yeah.
I have to say that I'm sorry. But I think another way that we can promote unity in a disagreement mm-hmm. is to know and understand the Word of God.
Definitely.
We have to spend time mm-hmm. in His Word. And I know that's hard. I tell you, Lisa, I don't do it as often as I need to do it. Ideal for me mm-hmm. would be every day I carve out, uh-huh. if only half an hour, to spend time in God's Word. Mm-hmm. I don't. Because life happens. I mean, I'm striving.
Right.
I'm striving and I'm continuing to strive.
I think we have so much help with that now, mm-hmm. with apps, and it doesn't have to be a half hour. Mm-hmm. Like if you on your way to work, you could mm-hmm. have something you listen to in mm-hmm. the car. Mm-hmm. On our phones, like I have the Bible app on my phone, and mm-hmm. they have different topics. You could. I just think it is essential, mm-hmm. And so it's important to get, if only 10 minutes, focus you and get you. Yeah,
because if we prepared. Don't know the Word, then we don't understand what He's saying.
Or the why.
Yeah,
of what
to
we
us.
Do.
And so we may be doing things that we heard from our parents. We were mm-hmm. told that this is what we are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily biblical. That's not necessarily what God called us to do. So it's very important to spend time. It doesn't have to be, like you say, an hour, but just spend time in His Word and mm-hmm. understanding His Word. And also seeking to understand people. Living a life, I believe, without judgment on uh-huh. people right. and jumping to conclusion.
That's a big one.
Yes. I know. We mm-hmm. we all do it. Mm-hmm. You know, just yesterday, my sister sent me a video. And I was looking at this video and I'm like, wow, this look weird. And this was judgment going on. Uh-huh. And I was going to pick up the phone and call. I said, no, leave it, Pam. Leave it alone. That's it. Forgive me, Lord. Whatever brief thought that I had in this by looking at this this video. So it's easy. We tend to be a judgmental, well, let me not say we, mm-hmm. you know.
That comes easy.
Yeah, I would.
That comes
you look
easy.
At something and this is, shouldn't be like this, and mm-hmm. we judge it. I mean, right. I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it.
But like you say, don't form a conclusion based on that. Even with text messaging now, too, mm-hmm. so much could get lost between. You can read something. Somebody may write something. You read it, and you take a different tone or perspective mm-hmm. than they intended. Mm-hmm. And you can come to a conclusion like that as well. Mm-hmm. And you could make a decision maybe on the relationship mm-hmm. just by reading it the wrong way that it was intended.
Yeah.
So I agree. Don't jump to conclusions or become defensive.
Yeah.
But speak to the person.
Yeah.
Be willing to listen to their mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. And I would say do not make a judgment call or conclusion based on a text.
Yeah.
Please. So much gets lost in there. And it happens all the time. I said mm-hmm. that because mm-hmm. it does happen.
Right.
You have these long discourses on, mm-hmm. yeah.
I live by this scripture. I found this scripture a few years ago, James chapter 1, verses 19.
Yeah.
I try my best to live by this because I think this is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it reads, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger."
Yeah.
I live by that. Yes. I try. I miss sometimes. Mm-hmm. I miss the mark sometimes, but I try really hard.
Yeah.
You know, quick to hear. Mm-hmm. Listen.
I did mm-hmm. I smile because I did a book series with my mm-hmm. aunt Hope.
Right.
the children, Wisdom Wagon books.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. one of the illustrations, mm-hmm. it says, we have two eyes, mm-hmm. two ears, one mouth.
Ooh, yeah.
So that should tell you,
yes.
listen twice yes. as much as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So we talked about how do we resolve difficulties or disagreement in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How do we then engage with non-believers or those who oppose our Christian beliefs? What does the Bible say about how we deal with those persons?
I think it just people are people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's me. I like to say that people are people. Whether they believe the same as you or they don't believe the same as you, across the board, it goes back to be gentle,
mm-hmm.
Respectful, be peace. I mean, seek peace and mm-hmm. kindness, humility. Mm-hmm. And like it came up before, if they're continually throwing at you what their beliefs are, you seek to understand, listen. Respect them as people. You don't have to agree.
Yeah. And agree that you have different beliefs. Yeah.
Or agree to disagree. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know everything about the Bible, so I don't want to have an argument with anybody about the Bible. Because mm-hmm. you may pull a scripture that I don't know and I don't understand. So I stay away from those arguments. Mm-hmm. I am not arguing with anybody about this Bible. I said you have to see Christ for yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do that, then that's on you. That's how I look at it. It's not my responsibility to save you.
I don't think God needs us to argue his word. I don't think he needs us to argue.
I worked with a guy. He's a nice guy. He says he was an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him one time, I said, I don't really think you're an atheist. You know, I said, you try to convince yourself that you are. Because he said he had an uncle who, on his deadbed, they brought the priests. And he told them, I didn't serve God while I was alive and I'm not about to. Accept him now.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in an office where we overlooked the harbor. And I would tell him, I said, see, we can't see beyond that pointing. I said, well, that's how I look at salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I believe I'm right. And I said, so I'm sorry for you. Because when you get over the harbor, I don't know what's going to happen with you. But the point is, we never engaged in argument.
No.
That was his position.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't change that.
No.
I mean, I could live out Christ's love. I could, when the opportunity comes, you know, speak to him. But outside of that.
And you don't allow what his belief, his different beliefs to dictate the way you treat him.
No.
You treat him as.
And that's how we were. We really got along. But I particularly like Titus chapter 3 when we talk about how to deal with people who don't see things the way that
mm-hmm.
we see it. And it reads, for we ourselves were once foolish. Could you believe that?
Uh-huh, yes.
I mean, I don't care how saved you are now.
Definitely.
I don't care how much you jumping around and calling Jesus. The Bible says we ourselves were once foolish,
mm-hmm.
disobedient, led astray, slave to various passions and pleasures,
mm-hmm.
passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of work done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's important. And to me, that's humility. So when we look at persons who disagree with us, who
mm-hmm.
don't live like we do,
right.
God is saying through his word, you were once
mm-hmm.
doing your own thing.
Yeah.
So then have a little grace and mercy and love on them.
Yeah.
Until they hopefully see the light.
Back to that's our personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't control what they do. We can control what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat them.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And in verse 9, avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissension, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. You may not believe in God, but
mm-hmm.
that's that's on you, I believe. And I'm not going to get in an argument with you about God's word.
I like how it wraps it all up with focus on doing good.
Yes.
Do good things, do good works, which benefits everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This act of kindness and service, like we mentioned before, demonstrates our love for God.
Yeah.
My pastor emeritus, Pastor Gary Curry, he preached a Valentine's sermon that I will never forget. There are certain points in my life where people say things I never forget. And I remember him saying, you can do good for somebody but not love them. But it's impossible to love somebody and not do good.
That's so
and
true.
And I always
so
remember true. That.
Yes.
I always remember that. So Lisa, as we wrap up, Paul spoke about the kindness of God and his love in verse 4 of Titus chapter 3. And I'll read it. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Mm-hmm. How do we as believers manifest this love in the way we treat others?
I think that's a good reminder. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you could start to feel almost self-righteous, remember?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget it.
Yeah.
We didn't earn it. It's God's kindness given to us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you remember that, you remember it's easier to give that to somebody else as well.
Mm-hmm.
This was given to me. I was given mercy that I can't hold. How can I hold something against somebody else?
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's a gift is the humility of it.
Right.
Right. See, if I felt that I'm saved because something I did, then I could exclude you because you didn't do it as good as me.
Yeah.
But because it was a gift and I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But it's because of his love. So, yeah, I think.
And that gift is available to everybody.
Everyone.
Yes.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not just me.
Right.
Or not just those who think they are important.
Yes.
But to us all. So we ought to practice patience and humility, forgiveness and reconciliation and good works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kindness and compassion.
Yeah,
Lisa,
service.
We have come to the end of part two of I Have Been Transformed. And I pray, listening audience, that you enjoy these sessions as much as Lisa and I enjoyed having this discussion. But before we go, again, I want to say to you, if there's a prayer request, if there's something that you need a couple of women of God to agree with you on, just send us an email at Sisters in Christ. And our sisters is SISTAS in Christ 242@gmail.com. SISTAS in Christ 242@gmail.com. And we will agree with you for God to work on your behalf. Before we go, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your kindness, for your love, mercy, and transformative power that saved us. We confess now, Lord, and acknowledge that it was not because of our own works, but through your grace that we are saved. Help us to live humbly, submit to authority, and show gentleness to all. Renew us daily by your Spirit, that we may be devoted to good works and reflect the transformation you have brought into our lives. Help us to always remember that it is by your grace that we are saved. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Until next time, trust in God.